Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will be joyous and be glad in it. I am so thankful and grateful to be with you this morning. I am excited about our word today. We're in a new chapter on a new day in a new month. So happy February to everybody today. Happy February. I pray that your February will be better than your January. And if your January was good, I say again that your February will be better than your January. Get ready to start this month of love. L-O-V-E, love. And we're going to let the Lord, who's over us, show us the way in all that we do. Let us pray this morning. Father God in heaven, you gave us another day. Thankful that you have given us your word to read, to learn from, to grow from. A word that guides us and leads us. We thank you this morning, Lord God, for the opportunity to have a better day and a do-over. Praying, Lord God, that this day will be better than yesterday. That we will do what you have asked us to do, to help someone, to love someone, to be kind to someone, and to walk in love and righteousness. But Lord, you are good and worthy to be praised. So we praise you this morning, saying hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for just being a mighty and awesome God. And Lord God, I ask you as always, please give me strength to read your word and to move forward in it. Lord God, I ask complete healing over the sick and the shut in. I ask you, Father God, to increase as I decrease. And as I pray every day, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you, Father God, are my strength. You, Father God, are my redeemer. And I can't do nothing without you. Guide me and lead me, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanking God again for a new day. Thanking God for each and every one of you. And we're going to just say, let's get started. And today is February 1st. We are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version. And when we go through our word and we'll say a life lesson, those life lessons are commentary of Dr. Charles Stanley. Life questions are questions from Dr. Stanley. So the word comes from, as far as the lessons and questions, are Dr. Stanley, and I'll say, and I said, so you'll know that I am not saying Dr. Stanley's words. But the Lord woke me up early this morning with this lesson. Actually, gave it to me last night, but I fell asleep. And so he woke me up early this morning with the title, and it is, My House Shall Be Called a House of prayer. But we also understand that the rest of it is, but you have made it a den of thieves. The Lord God is not pleased with us because they have made God's house a house of thieves, giving out false teachings, false prophecies, false everything, and expecting God to just say, oh, it's all good, when you're leading people to hell. Because it's not all good. It's not right to tell people lies for political and personal gain. It's not right to lie to your congregation in the name of the Lord. For God is not pleased. God is not happy with lying folks and doing it in the name of God. God is a good and righteous God. I'm going to tell you something. We don't want to have them Pharaoh moments where he starts sending more plagues. We already dealing with coronavirus all over this world. And let's call it straight. There have been churches where practically the whole congregation came down with COVID. Why? Because of lies. Folks blowing in each other's faces. Pastors running around, snotting, sweating, and telling everybody that they was God and that COVID didn't have any kind of power over them because they had the power of God. As they are taking your money, as they are lying to you, prophesying all over the place, you know, telling you that the prophetic word was that this was going to happen and that was going to happen. The day came, it didn't happen. The next day came, it didn't happen. A month came, it didn't happen. 2 months came, and it didn't happen. And then it came where you lost your mind, falling after lies to jail. Because they were listening to prophet liars. And it's not right. And God is not pleased. Folks are after money instead of after salvation. If you give this, you're going to be that. If you give this, you're going to be a millionaire. If you give this, you're going to be a billionaire. If you give this, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. If you give your house to God, you'll be in the kingdom of God as they distort God's word. We've got to be careful that we are not going into a house of thieves, but into a house of prayer. You know, I love my pastor, and she'll say every time, more prayer, more power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. We got to pray. Not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the lying stuff that goes on. And I'm grateful that I go to a church where we do what we're supposed to do. We follow what the word of God says. Not made up word, but God's word. There are folks that will take one scripture, distort it, and have people all messed up. Falling out, yeah, shouting out. But then when they get out, you say, and what did your pastor preach today? They can't tell you. They cannot tell you one word that was preached. They cannot give you one testimony that was given. Charismatic spell. It's been there a long time. It's there now. Folks got kicked out of churches. Because they said, that's not right. That's not a God. I can't be a part of this. In leadership, got kicked out of church because they saw pastors surface to the thieves underneath. Folks selling things, doing stuff that is not a God. We will be held accountable when we don't do what thus says the Lord. So thus says the Lord, read my word. That's my assignment. And we're about to get into it. But God said, tell my people, Bible believing, Bible teaching, true Bible believing, true Bible teaching. Folks that want to do right. Because I'm going to say this. Because I love you, I'm going to ask you to wear a mask. Because I love you, I'm going to ask you to wash your hands, and there's sanitizer available at the door. Because I love you, if you're not in the same family, I would ask that you social distance. But still, please, for everybody else, wear your mask. I'm grateful that God has blessed the church that I go to, not one COVID, to lead her and to lead the congregation. My pastors believe that we should do what is right, and we wear masks. Thank you, Pastor Paul. Thank you, Pastor Jesse. Thank you for loving us enough to speak the truth and to say, do what you need to do to protect each other in love. And so this is one minister who believes that we should do what we're asked to do to help our fellow man so that we can get rid of this awful virus. But the best way, a house of prayer. Pray, my brothers and sisters. Pray for the sick. Pray for the shut-in. Pray for your brothers and sisters that have contracted COVID. Pray for those that are getting vaccinated, that the vaccine will have no ill effects, that instead it will help. Pray, pray, and pray some more in the name of Jesus. Pray for those that are hungry. Pray for those that are sick. And if you have extra, give it away. I'm looking at my extra. I got my bags because I'm giving some stuff away because that is my assignment. We got to do what thus says the Lord, quick and in a hurry. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both a man and beast, it is mine. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month of Abib. The month of Abib. And I'm going to go out and see what the month of Abib is on the Jewish calendar. God gives us edit, and it says, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. We shall keep this service in this month. God, and this says this, in the ancient Hebrew calendar, the first month of the esoterical year and the seventh of the silver year corresponding to the latter part of March and the early part of April. And it says, the death of firstborn, which occurred in April, Abib, was evidently not a natural calamity. It must be killed on the 14th of the month, Abib, as the sun is setting, and the blood must be sprinkled with hyssop. The first of these is Abib, meaning the month of green ears. And it says, which month is Abib in English calendar? And it says March through April. So the month of Abib will be next month and the end of next month and the beginning of April, which is normally what we celebrate as Easter. So understand that God even told them what month to leave, when to go, what to do. Everything you think of it, God has already put it in his word. And as he continues, he said, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It shall be done as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And it shall be, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's, but every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with the lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So it shall be, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. To pass, when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a sign to your hand and as a frontlet between your eyes. For by strength, the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Sukkot, camped in Ephraim, at the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead the way, and by night pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Chapter 14 of Exodus. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled. Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. It is always a complainer. We can't do it. Oh, what is we going to do, people? We got to do what God says to do. So let's keep going. Because I told y'all, as I tell you every day, this is a great word. It's a great word. I get all hyped up because it is a great word. And it goes on to say, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh, over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen, and the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went before them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came to between the camp of Israel, of the Egyptians, and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into a dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left, and the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to in the morning, watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to the full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Don't play with God. Don't play with God. What God says he will do, he will do. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So why do you believe that he has left you? Why do you believe somebody telling you that he's forsaken you? Yes, we are going to go through our wilderness. Yes, we're going to go through some trials. Yes, we're going to go through some even some tribulations in our life. But I'll tell you this, the Lord God is with us. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He will always be there for us. All we have to do is have faith. Mustard seed faith will take us farther than you can imagine. It will be more than you can believe. God loves his children so much. He's got us covered. And the word of God in Exodus from the life lessons from Dr. Stanley, the first, Exodus 13, chapter 7, Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. Lest perhaps the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. Our God is a practical God, and he deals with us according to our nature. So he will perhaps lead us in a way appropriate to us. He couldn't take them 11 days because they would have had to go through the land of the Philistines and they were not ready. They were still with the slave mentality. They still had a mentality of enslavement. Folks wonder, after slavery, why so many ex-slaves went back to work the land of their previous masters as sharecroppers? Because they were afraid. They didn't know anything else. So they were afraid. They couldn't read, couldn't write. Had only been slaves. Had not been prepared for today you're a slave and tomorrow you're free. If you are an African American and your family has been here since slavery, you understand it's some mentality that goes into the course, into the bloodstream. It seems like there's a slave mentality of being afraid. We can't walk in fear, family. We got to walk in faith, knowing that just as God freed the children of Israel, God freed the children from the African continent. God freed us, too. We might be a mixed breed now, but we are God's children. I laughed. I said, I think I have a little bit of every African nation out there. If every West African nation, I think I have a little bit of it. You know, we were out talking DNA last night because my granddaughters did the 23andMe, and my sons and I did Ancestry. And I get tickled because it seems like Ancestry changes every day. My nationality is because the more people they get, the more of a pool they get, which broadens the DNA spectrum that they have. And but some things stay the same. You know, I'm still Nigerian and still Bantu and still from Congo and still from Ghana and still, you know, it's like, okay, this wide range. You know, and my sons are descendants from Ashkenazi Jewish as well as my granddaughters. So, you know, it's like, okay, this is some weird stuff. You know, they didn't get it from me. But, you know, God gives us each DNA. And then there's that 1% that's unknown, because we know it's known because it just says that we are children of God. And then Exodus 13, verse 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. When we personally know the Lord, we never need to feel in the dark. Come on now. And how we follow him, God provides everything we need for life in him. And that includes illumination of the path before us. Hallelujah. The Lord will make our path straight, and he will give us light. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God. Exodus 14 and 2, speak to the children of Israel that they shall camp before it by the sea. Sometimes the Lord perversely leads us into situations that look like dead ends, not only to test our faith, but also to show his power. and complete control over all situations. Wherever he leads, we must follow. Come on now. I'm going to read that again. Sometimes the Lord purposefully leads us in situations that look like dead ends, not only to test our faith, but also to show his power and complete control over all situations. Wherever he leads, we must follow. Y'all caught that? Wherever God leads, we must follow. Exodus 14:13. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Throughout the scripture, we read the phrase, do not be afraid. It is God's refrain to his people wherever their circumstances, for he has promised to save and deliver us. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to walk in faith, family. We must walk in faith that our Father God got us covered. From the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet, our Daddy God has us covered. And we're going to go into our New Testament word, and then we'll come back to our Psalm and our Proverbs. And our Matthew 21, verses 1 through 22 is our word for today. And excuse me, I was being presumptuous, and God just gave me a little nudge to say, go back to the Old Testament because it's for a purpose and a reason. Okay, so I am going back to Psalm 18, verses 13 through 19, and Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. Sometimes we think we're going to do it our way, and God will give you a little godly nudge to say, no, you're going to do it this way. So I'm doing it God's way, not my way, which is to read our Psalm and our Proverb and to do what I'm doing decent and in order. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, and forgive me, Lord. And the word says in Psalms chapter 18, verses 13 through 19, the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. What a word. And for those that are joining us, every day, when we study this word, we get an Old Testament word and a New Testament word. In the Old Testament, we get either Genesis, Exodus, or Leviticus, all the way to Revelations. And we also get a Psalm and a Proverb. And Psalm chapter 18, it is the chief musician, a Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his men and enemies and from the hand of Saul. And that is where our word is coming from this morning. It is a Psalm of David after he was delivered from Saul. Proverbs chapter 6. As we continue in Proverbs, you know, we know Psalms will kind of tell you where it's coming from, but we know Proverbs was written by Solomon, and it may be some other authors in there, but we know Solomon for sure. It is a book of wisdom. And as we continue, this is what the word says in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider our ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard, when you will rise from your sleep? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. In other words, you can't just keep depending on somebody else to take care of you. You got to work. That a man that does not work don't eat. We can't be sluggards forever. We got to get up. We got to go to work. Because God is watching us. God is saying, how do you do with a little before I give you a lot? We got to go to work. You know, entrepreneurship, whatever you got to do to make it, do it. Whatever is your bit, do it. If you got a mind for design, design it, patent it, and get what God has for you. Whatever is your desire in life, all you got to do is ask God, as long as you don't pray amiss. Let's continue. Matthew chapter 21. And it says, and when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. Whew. All you have to do is say, the Lord has need of them. The Lord has need of us. We got to go where he says go. Was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt and a foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and sent him on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and of the money changers, and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read? Bam. You know, he just hit them. Out of the mouth of babes. Hey, come on now. And nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that again. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Love this. And he left them and went out of the city of Bethany. And he went out of the city to Bethany. And he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, He came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Hallelujah. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive. But we cannot, family, pray amiss. We got to pray righteous and righteous prayers, believing and trusting in our God, Savior. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure. But I love that word. When Jesus told the Pharisees, Sadducees, the priests, the folks coming in, the scribes. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what they are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. I love that word, mainly because I'm over children's choir. There is nothing like seeing children in true worship. And, you know, folks will send me a video of children praising God, getting their shout on. And there is nothing like seeing children shout. You know, I've gone to churches where children have been raised to praise. You know, and that's what we have to do as men and women of God. We got to raise our children to praise and not to be ashamed to get up and do your dance. Do your dance for the Lord. Don't be ashamed to praise. And that starts as children. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, I thank God for my mother, for my godparents that raised me in the church and trained me up in the way to go. And I have not departed from it. Hallelujah. But this is a word from Dr. Stanley. Answers to life's question. How can God use an imperfect person like me? Once you have accepted Jesus Christ, God's Holy Spirit lives in you. Through him, God enables you to do everything he asks, making the possibilities for service limitless. Have you been sitting on the sidelines because you have let sin and shame discourage you? Perhaps you feel as though God can't use your broken vessel. Don't let your feelings overshadow the truth. God is big enough to forgive you, restore you, and use you to restore others. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Once you have confessed and turned from your sins, you are cleansed. But God does not purify you and empower you with his spirit merely to make you feel good. God's purification process fulfills the scriptures and equips his children for service. The question is not, do I have the power? It is, how will I use the power? Once you're asking the right questions, consider a few prerequisites to answering it. One, conviction of inadequacy. This is more than merely feeling as though God can't use you. If you walk in the flesh and it's not simply knowing that God alone is sovereign, it is knowing and acknowledging that without the Holy Spirit, you are incapable, unwilling, and too weak to do what he asks of you. Wow. Purity of life. Don't confuse purity with perfection. Purity is continual. Immediate confession of and repentance from sin. Prayer. When you willingly and genuinely acknowledge your inadequacy, you will consistently reach up to God through prayer. You know that He is your lifeline and that you cannot live without Him. Belief. Jesus tells us whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Matthew 21:22. When you ask according to God's will, He answers. You must believe that He will do what He says. Engaged in service. God has given you the power of the Holy Spirit, and He wants you to be eager to use it, whether for ministry to one person or to many. The power of God's Spirit changes lives. God was big enough to transform your heart and save you from bondage to sin. He is also big enough to cleanse you, help you rise above discouragement, and use you to influence the lives of others for all for His glory. Whatever we do for God, not for self. Not for self-aggrandizement. We do it for God. This is my way of volunteering, my way of giving back. I don't ask for anything to do this blog. I do it because this is my assignment, to read the word to the shut-ins, to read the word to those just may not be able to sit down and read themselves. They get a word every morning. Morning by morning, new mercies we see from our Father God. Matthew 21:4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. God is serious about fulfilling His word. If He makes sure that even little prophecies, details take place. See Matthew 2:15, 13:35, John 19:24-28. Then we can expect that He will, you surely fulfill all the big things He will do. He does. And I can tell you this, the big things that God says He will do, He does. God does the big and God does the little. Matthew 21:12, Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all of those who brought and sold in the temple. God feels passionate that His name be honored and that His people be treated well. His silence may unnerve us at times, but He overlooks nothing and lets nothing slide. The day of His justice is coming. And that is our word for this morning. If there's anyone that is listening in on other media, the number to call is 213-943-3597. And you will be in queue if you would like to speak. Push the number one. God is good and His mercy endures forever and all. All we have to do is believe. All the children of Israel had to do was believe that God did not bring them into the wilderness to kill them, but He brought them into the wilderness to show them that He was miraculous, that He was mighty, that He was awesome, that He was great, that He was able to take the sea, move it aside, and let them walk through the sea on dry land. That's our God. Hallelujah. Our Savior does not play. He don't want you in church changing money and doing things that are not of God. He told you, my house will be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. So I'm just giving notice to all those out there who are playing church, wondering why churches are closing left and right. Look at what was going on in them, and you'll see a lion in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus will show up and show out and show that you are a what? Liar. A liar and a cheat and a thief. Don't play with God. We think folks are doing the thing. Oh, they got all the money and they got all the books and they got all the this and they got all the that. Built on lies. And believe me, a house of cards will not stand forever. Eventually, a good wind is going to blow them down. And in this season, God is doing a whole lot of blowing down. Don't say, just watch. Showing out. And he's going to continue showing out because God don't play that. He don't play with us, and you definitely don't play with God. The word is a great word this morning, and I am so grateful and thankful that you joined me. As always, it is time to end. I can't believe it. With the word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, who all I can say is our word was on time, on point, and just what was needed this morning. And I have a word for you from our sister in Christ, from Carolyn's gift this morning. And the word is this. Woo! And all I can say is, I know these are divinely appointed words given to her. And I always laugh. I said, Lord, are you giving her the words just for me? Because it seems like they just fall right into place with whatever lesson God is giving us to teach for the day. And this is the word for this morning. Good morning, no matter how things look right now. Oh, my God. There's a sea in front of us and the Egyptians chasing us. What are we going to do? Know that God is still in control of our life because God is going to open the Red Sea for you to walk through on dry ground. He's going to put that pillar of fire and clouds behind you. One's following you, can't follow you. And then when they do, they wind up in the midst of the sea to be drowned. Stay in peace and believe that he will always be with you. Did the Lord say, I will never leave you or forsake you? Don't be afraid. Come on now. He says, in all situations, she says, be with you in all situations. Have a motivated Monday. And I say to you this morning, as Sister Carolyn so eloquently put it, no matter how things look right now, you are at your Red Sea. Don't be afraid because God has got the rod to open it for you. Because God is still in control. Stay in peace and believe that he will always be with you in all situations. Have a motivated money. Don't worry if you get kicked out of a church for telling the truth, for saying, you guys are doing too much. You're money changing. You're prophesying. You're using God's people. It's not right. And they want to put you out. Be put out. Because I tell you this, wherever you go, if they don't pick up this book, if they don't pick up a Bible in that ministry, when you don't see folks eager to bring their Bibles to church because they know it's they're going to be used. Come on now. If all you see is somebody gives you a half word and then preach for an hour and a half and then you walk out and you can't even remember the scripture because the scripture became secondary to the person preaching about how you got to give, that they need this and they need that and they, but nothing about what the congregation needs, nothing about opening up a food pantry, nothing about giving clothes, nothing about giving transportation, nothing about helping the people of the community, nothing about anything but what I need. That is a church where you better pack up your Bible and walk out the door and do not return because they are not Bible believing and they are definitely not Bible teaching the word of God because God's word is a foundation we can stand on. It will not crumble and it will not break. It will stand firm from Genesis to Exodus to Revelations. Come on now. It will stand firm on the law. God has given us an edit. God has given us instructions. As I love it, my sister says, basic instructions before leaving earth. God has given them to us. We just got to read them. Hallelujah. So I thank you this morning for coming in and listening to the word of God, because you will be able to say, we came out of Exodus this morning, because that word is going to permeate your spirit, that you came out of Exodus this morning, and that on this first day of February, you were in Exodus chapter 13 and chapter 14. And then you are the book of Matthew, chapter 21, where Jesus said, my house, come on now, you have made my house into a den of thieves. But he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Say it with me. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And prayer warriors, let your house be a house of prayer. Don't be ashamed to pray. Don't be ashamed to shout. Don't be ashamed to call on the name of Jesus, because it is that name that will get you through everything. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Our God is with us wherever we go. He was with me a week ago when my car got to sliding, and I thought I was getting ready to get a pole. Instead, he just slid it right on around from going forward to going in the opposite direction to go forward straight without any cars. Not one car was with me in my lane. The stoplight, it was a stoplight. Come on now. God put a stoplight up so that I could turn and go straight. Come on, don't tell me what God can't do. He will save your life. All you have to have is faith. Hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're apt and one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a great and faith-filled day, knowing that your Father God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you every moment, every hour, every day, through every circumstance. Thank God. Believe in God and trust in God. And I say to you this morning, it's time to go to work. And it is a wrap. I love you all. Be blessed, because you are highly favored by God. Thank you, Father God, this morning. Lord God, I pray your coverage over each and every listener, those listening live and those listening later. Keep them covered under the blood of Jesus, that no hurt, no harm, no danger will come near them or their abode. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, family. It's a wrap.